In 1863, a number of individuals, as well as the Alabama legislature, recommended enlistment of slave soldiers in the Confederate Army. The first comprehensive proposal came from General Patrick R. Claiborne in January 1864. We've mentioned Claiborne before as a splendidly gifted division commander, a native of Ireland, who'd been in the British Army before the American Civil War, but he'd moved to Arkansas in the antebellum years and then gone into the Confederate Army, fought always with the Army of Tennessee, had a reputation and the nickname as the Stonewall Jackson of the West. Well, Patrick Claiborne, in January of 1864, the night of January 2nd, in fact, proposed at a meeting of leaders from the Army of Tennessee that the South should train a large number of slaves for military service and give them freedom if they agreed to fight. Dwindling Southern white manpower, a lack of supplies, and the inability to use most effectively this huge resource of black males had brought the Confederacy to dire straits, argued Claiborne, and this might be a way out. I think Claiborne's part of his argument overlooked the fact that it's not an underutilized resource of black males in one regard, because most of those black men are working in agricultural or other pursuits that really are supporting the Confederacy. But nonetheless, this is the argument that Claiborne made. And he went on to say that as between the loss of independence and the loss of slavery, we assume that every patriot will freely give up the latter, give up the Negro slave rather than be a slave himself. The proposal started a heated debate at the meeting and later in the Confederate government. No decision was made in the meantime, but Claiborne, interestingly enough, who was, as I said earlier, the most gifted division commander in the Western theater, was never promoted again. So the question has come out in the open in a very important way. And that choice, Claiborne's choice, choose to get rid of our slaves or choose to be an independent country, that's how he framed it, that choice would remain before the Confederates as their cause seemed to become more and more problematical. What was more important to them, keeping property or doing anything necessary to win the war? On November 7, 1864, Jefferson Davis proposed a limited form of emancipation. Many white Southerners were still not willing to give up this critical part of their civilization. They'd already given up so much in the way of personal rights and state rights to a central government that was drafting people and impressing slaves and taxing people directly and indirectly. They already seemingly had given up so much of what they had gone to war to protect, it just seemed beyond the pale to ask them to give up slavery. Hal Cobb of Georgia, one of the leading political figures of the South, put the problem succinctly. He said, "The day you make soldiers of them is the beginning of the end of the Revolution. If slaves will make good soldiers, our whole theory of slavery is wrong." Of course, Cobb was right. And I suspect that secretly, he was afraid that slaves might make good soldiers. In the end, necessity, together with the endorsement of Robert E. Lee, finally brought Davis and the government to a decision. Lee's approval was critical. Both sides had sought his public opinion for months. Lee had a private opinion, but he believed in a rigorous separation of the military sphere and the civilian sphere. Civilians ran the government, made the policy, he believed. Soldiers did their duty. They carried out the policies of the government. But he finally was persuaded to give an opinion on what he considered a political question, and he came out in favor of it. And not only in favor of arming slaves, he said any slave who fights has to be freed. It doesn't make sense otherwise. It's in our self-interest to offer them that package, so to speak, rather than just trying to get slaves to fight with no guarantee of freedom. Lee's weighing in made the difference. And on March 23, 1865, just 2 weeks before Appomattox, the Confederate War Department issued General Order No. 14, which called for the enlistment of slaves. But the Confederate Congress would not take the additional step of promising freedom to any black man who would fight. Before the fall of Richmond in early April, you had the really astonishing image of a handful of black and white soldiers drilling together in the streets of Richmond. Just an absolutely mind-boggling image in this slave-based republic. But of course, it had all come too late to have a real impact on the war. Now, what would have happened if the South had done this earlier and won its independence? Surely, the institution of slavery would never have been the same with numbers of free black men who had fought in the Confederate Army. That's just a tantalizing what if. Even without that, however, slavery changed significantly during the war. The institution was not the same. And the war as a whole brought the profoundest change of all, the freedom of 3.5 million black Southerners. A sea change. Next time, we will move away from the institution of slavery, but to a related subject, and that is wartime Reconstruction.